And that's what life is. Life is just continual pivots. And the term pivot is a basketball term. It means when the defense is on you, you can't see the hoop, you can't see anything, like you are stuck. But it's not a big turn, because big turns change. That word is daunting. People get already count themselves out of the game. But if you make a slight turn, a slight pivot of perspective, you turn and it opens up everything. So literally, you could be just a small turn, one introduction to somebody, one going the extra mile from your breakthrough. But far too often we count ourselves out because we can't see it in the here and now. And the biggest, most important thing you can do is literally understand that, hey, anything that happens of a negative to me, you can actually spin that to a positive.
So the question is this: how do thought leaders, school dropouts, former and current students find out what's next after they do or don't cross that stage? If you want to know the secrets to starting the career or business of your dreams, getting paid whatever you desire, and discovering what you do the best with the least amount of effort, then this is the right podcast for you. I'm Sean Anthony, and this is School's Over. Now What? The podcast. All right, let's get into it, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your host, Sean Anthony. Listen, fam, I'm excited that you are here, because you could have been anywhere, right? There's millions of podcasts. In fact, there's over 2 million podcasts on Apple and Spotify alone, but you're rocking with the boy, you're rocking with me. But I got to tell you exactly where you're at, right? Each and every single week, we continue to bring you an inspiring person or a message that's truly going to help you. And I don't care where you are right now in your journey, whether you are somebody trying to climb the corporate ladder, or perhaps you're an entrepreneur trying to elevate your business, or you just want to begin your entrepreneurship journey. And the goal of this show is that everybody who has spoken on this platform has answered a question we have all asked ourselves at some point in our life. And that is, school's over. Now what? Right? What do I do? And if you know anything about this show, I love to give, you know, all of the supporters shout outs. And I want to read you this week's review of the week. This week's review of the week comes from Keisha. And she wrote, "I absolutely love listening to your podcast. It keeps me inspired and consistently gives the spark I need to keep going." Listen, Keisha, I appreciate you, and I'm excited we give you that spark. And perhaps you're one of our listeners, and you've been listening to us for quite some time now, right? We're 200 plus episodes in. If you haven't already, you know, scroll to the bottom of your screen. This is the only thing we're going to ask, is that you smash that 5-star rating. You leave your review. If you're listening to us on Spotify, you can hit that 5-star rating there. Or perhaps you may not know it, but we also have a YouTube channel. So if you're more of a visual person, you're like, "Yo, fam, I need to see like this actual interaction. I love to see, you know, the back and forth, the candor." Please be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel at School's Over. Now What? With that being said, here's a quick word from our sponsors. Have you ever thought about starting a podcast? No, like, fam, for real, like starting a podcast, getting on a mic and having your own show. But you've been a little confused about where to start at, on what mic choice, on what computer, on what software. How do you make this thing happen? Well, listen, I got it covered for you. If you scroll to the bottom right now in the show notes, click the link, grab my free podcast starter kit. Listen, podcasting has changed my life. In fact, it's helped me leave my 6-figure job and do what I'm doing today. And I want to teach you how to do it. So click the link in the show notes today and grab my free ebook, The Podcast Starter Kit. This episode is brought to you by patreon.com/schoolsover. Now what? For as low as $5, you can help us reach more people, tour schools, and impact communities. You also get exclusive content nobody else can see. Fam, we might even start merch. Visit patreon.com/schoolsover. Now what? And become a Patreon today. All right, let's get into the reason you click that button. See, here's the thing about this show, right? You never know who the guest is, but we promise to bring you just spectacular, overall dope people. And I hope you are ready for what's next. Today's guest on the show is the one and only David Nurse. That's right, NBA coach, keynote speaker, best-selling author. You've probably seen this guy everywhere, man, from ESPN, Amazon TV, you name it. He's helping so many people unlock their potential. But on today's episode, we are really going to dive into how do you really pivot and go? How do you really like come up with techniques that's going to elevate your mindset? We're talking about shower techniques that's going to help you beat self-doubt. 17 seconds to a unique secret. So I'm telling you, 17 seconds, he's going to tell you what that is, how to build relationships, the way he became an NBA coach, his favorite player he's ever coached. That might surprise you. And techniques that you can apply right now to serve others. I hope you guys are ready. Grab your pen, grab your paper, however you take notes. You might want to save this one. In fact, you know, if you are listening to this right now, I want you to write down what was your biggest takeaway and screenshot it and tag us, because this is a phenomenal episode. Sit back and enjoy episode 207 with David Nurse. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the podcast. You know, we got to bring you the best of the best. You already heard the intro. I'm sitting with my guy who not only has crushed like NBA in terms of like coaching, but life optimization, best-selling author. I mean, the one and only David Nurse is in the building. What's going on, fam?
Man, I appreciate you having me on. Like, those type of introductions make me want to hire you full time as my agent. So
listen, man, it's about that preparation, which you know very much about. But before you was, you know, prepping all these athletes to get ready for big games, take us back, right, to the young David growing up. Where are you from?
So I grew up in the middle of nowhere cornfields of Iowa. And all I ever wanted to do was play in the NBA. That was literally like my hopes and goals and dreams. Every waking minute I poured into playing in the NBA. Now, my parents probably should have said, hey, play tennis or golf, something like that, because my vertical leap is about this high. But I was passionate about it. I loved it. That was my dream. So I grind my way to be able to play college basketball, and then I'm playing overseas. And when you say you're playing overseas, it sounds really cool, professional basketball overseas. But for being honest, it was more like the Will Ferrell semi-pro than it was the NBA. But here I am still thinking that I'm playing in the NBA. Like, I'm doing two-a-days, film study, like whatever I can do to self-improve, I'm doing it. And my teammates are more concerned about where the party is going to be at, like drinking beers at halftime, kid you not. And I get cut from this team. Like, I remember it vividly. We walk out of this stadium in northern Spain, second division league, and the coach is like, David, you're just not good enough. You can't cut it. And think about like all your hopes and goals and dreams taken away from you, yes, but then turned upside down and your face rubbed in the dirt. That's what I felt like. Like everything I had worked for, man, it was gone. My whole life, it was gone. So I go back and I'm living on my parents' recliner chair in Kansas City at the time, and I'm licking my wounds and literally sleeping on the recliner chair 6 months. I got my legs kicked back, and my mom would always say these inspirational, motivational quotes. And usually it's, yeah, whatever, mom, in one ear, out the other, I'm not listening.
Thanks.
She said this one that stuck with me. She said, David, when one door closes, four open in an entire beachfront patio overlooking the ocean. And I was like, whoa, I thought it was one door. What door? Where's this four doors and beachfront patio coming from? But it hit me at that moment. Everything that I'd poured into my life to play in the NBA was not necessarily for me in my like my own gain to actually be an NBA player, but it's for me to be able to coach, to be able to teach others with more God-given ability, 7 foot height and athleticism to get to the NBA. So what that was saying is it's what a life pivot is. It's everything you pour into your life is not taken away if you don't make it, if you fail. It's actually leading you and teaching you to what you're actually supposed to be doing, what God has planned for you. And I look at life exactly like that, a long hallway. And you're walking down this hallway and there's doors. You open a door, you learn some in here, and then you go back and you start going down the hallway and you go in another door, you learn some there. But everything is continuing to lead you to your ultimate destination of where God has made you to be. So at that moment, right then and there, I made it my decision. I was going to coach in the NBA. And we can get into that story and how that actually happened and how I had zero contacts to get into the NBA. But yeah, I'll get into that if you.
I like where this is going, right? Because like you know, you talk about this, you know, in some of the books, you know, that you've written, and that is like that perspective to make decisions. You talk about that perspective a little bit. Elaborate on, you know, on what do you mean by having the right perspective?
So perspective is literally everything. And I can't harp on this enough. It's perspective is all how we see something. It's like a kaleidoscope. You remember those kaleidoscopes where you could slightly turn it? And you see a different, and it can bring a whole different outlook. And that's what life is. Life is just continual pivots. And the term pivot is a basketball term. It means when the defense is on you, you can't see the hoop, you can't see anything, like you are stuck. But it's not a big term, because big turns change. That word is daunting. People get already count themselves out of the game. But if you make a slight turn, a slight pivot of perspective, you turn and it opens up everything. So literally, you could be just a small turn, one introduction to somebody, one going the extra mile from your breakthrough. But far too often, we count ourselves out because we can't see it in the here and now. And the biggest, most important thing you can do is literally understand that, hey, anything that happens of a negative to me, you can actually spin that to a positive. Like for example, like, we all know it's cliche to say, hey, failure is the best way to learn and grow, but it really is. I mean, when you fail, you learn ways not to do it, how to do it differently. But also when you fail, the coolest thing about failure is somebody else is going to fail like that, just like you. Mm. And you get to teach them how to get through that moment. So not only is failure a double win, I mean, then also if you get these little wins, this momentum is the most powerful. The eighth wonder of the world is momentum. So literally anything that happens to you in your day, in your life, you can spin to the positive because of that word perspective. And I don't think there's any more powerful word than that. We literally have 35,000 choices daily that we make. 80% of those are habitual. I mean, that's why it's so important to have your strong, disciplined habits. But 35,000 choices? Think about your perspective.
That's crazy.
What if you looked at it in a positive way?
Man, you know what's so cool about your story, man, is the fact that you went from what, the recliner, probably like the lazy boy chair, to like doing what you're doing now. But for someone who's struggling, like with seeing that vision, right? Like what were some of the things you were telling yourself to literally get up off that couch?
Yeah. So, I mean, it all came to the point of understanding like, hey, I had this gift that I could coach. But I think the most important thing for people to do is if they don't know where they want to go, where that vision is literally ask yourself every morning when you wake up, because that is when the mind is the freshest, when it hasn't been polluted with all these other thoughts or other people's opinions. If you could do whatever you want to do and money wasn't an issue, what would that be? Mm. Because we live in a day and age, which is crazy, that you can literally, like I was just talking to someone not too long ago, who's making hundreds of thousands of dollars teaching people how to get through certain levels of video games. What?
Crazy.
That's the world we live in, man. But you have that opportunity. So you got to figure out what that thing is and what that passion is that I'm talking about. That passion is, if it doesn't have purpose with it, it will never work. Meaning if you're only doing what you say you want to do to get a lot of followers, to get notoriety, to make a lot of money, it will burn out at some point. But if you can tie passion with purpose, that's when you're on mission, man. And you also have to, so ask yourself that question when you wake up in the morning, like what would you want to do that could change the world, change the way people see themselves, even if you didn't make any money. And then a story, like an example that I like to give is this guy, Jiro, the Jiro Dreams of Sushi. Look this documentary up. It's a phenomenal documentary. I'm obsessed with sushi. Like I want to find the best sushi in the world. And I got the opportunity to go to Japan and consult for the Japanese basketball league. So I go over there 3 days early because I want to find this guy, man. I want to get to his sushi spot, have this life-changing sushi. And the first 2 days, I couldn't find him. I searched everywhere. Tokyo is a massive city. Mm. Finally, on the third day, I get this tip where this guy is. And it's crazy. His spot was two levels underneath the train station in the middle of Tokyo. Mm. So I go down there two levels and I just want to take a picture so I can send it back to everybody. Be like, hey, look where I went, even though I didn't even go there, you know, social media, of course. But the guard slaps my hand down so I can't take a picture with Jiro, the sushi guy. And what you got to know about Japan, too, is they're very non-confrontational. So for someone to slap your hand down, that means a lot. That means that you shouldn't be doing this. So I have this last day before the practices, the basketball that I have to be at. And I figure, OK, where's the best sushi maker in the world going? There's a fish market called Tsuzuki Fish Market. Mm-hmm. It opens up at 4 a.m. They're selling these massive tunas. Like, I'm going to find this guy. Because think about this. This guy has, you know, he's got this passion. He's got purpose to make the best sushi in the world to bring other people joy. This is how I knew he was on this mission. I got to find this guy. So I have my phone with his picture pulled up on Google. And I'm about 97-98% sure that I actually was following the right guy. But a lot of those old Japanese guys kind of look similar. But I'm there for him, man. And I'm following this guy around. And he's going from market to market to market. And it is deep. Like, it is rows and rows deep of the same stuff. He picks up a fish. He's looking at it. He'll smell it. He'll put it by his ear. He'll listen to it. He'll touch it, like this weird routine. And then he puts it down. And he goes on to the next. Same thing. Does his routine. On to the next. On to the next. And we're going for about an hour, man. Like, I had to get out of there soon to start getting to practice. So I'm like, man, pick a freaking foot fish already. And finally he does. He does his whole routine and he selects one. He selects a fish. And you know how cool that is? This guy who literally, he had his documentary made. He was the sushi champion. Like, he was the man. But he's putting all of this effort in, all of this energy in to find the best fish so that he can make a great sushi roll that night to bring the people in his restaurant the best experience. He's putting in his passion that he has, his God-given ability to make sushi to bring other people joy. So that being said, you've got to think about what you are doing. How will it affect others? If you have passion plus purpose, you're living on mission. So I challenge you to do that. When you wake up in the morning, ask yourself, what could that thing be for you?
Hey guys, so let me take a guess. You're enjoying the show. And if that's right, please make sure that you take a screenshot of you listening to the podcast right now and tag me at SeanRAnthony_. I promise you this is going to help in amazing ways. And while you're at it, hit the 5-star rating and subscribe. With that being said, guys, let's get back to the show.
Man, I like that story, man. I can imagine just like having the patience to even wait, right? That long. So I got to ask you, was the fish good? Was the sushi good?
Hey, you know what? I did not get into his place because you can't get into his place unless you're a diplomat, basically. Uh-huh. But I stepped my way into his son's place. So if I couldn't have his, I would have the best sushi. And when I tell you, man, that sushi, it was life-changing. Do you think you've had good sushi in America? Nah, you haven't.
I like this, man. You know what's also was very intriguing that you talk about too, that I think our audience will benefit from, is like learning techniques. I want people to walk away from this episode to say, you know what, David taught me something, you know, that's life changing. And one of the things that I found out that's amazing that you do is this shower technique, this mirror technique. Tell us a little bit about that, and how does that beat self-doubt?
Oh, great, man. Great question. So first thing in the morning when I wake up, and we all will go by a mirror, hopefully, to take a shower or brush your teeth. And that mirror is what I call the mirror of self-doubt. It's the foggy mirror. So you stop by the mirror and you imagine that it's covered with fog. And this is the analogy to the self-doubt thoughts that we have. We have 50,000 self-talk thoughts daily. 80% of those are negative. So think about that. You have 40,000 negative self-talk thoughts floating through your mind daily. That's crazy. So the action you do, because actions are tied to your subconscious. If you can tie a physical action to your mind, this becomes a mindset tool. Most people know these physical tools, lifting weights will increase your strength, your muscles, but your mindset tools are the same thing. The muscle memory habits that you develop may give you this unshakable mindset. So stand by the mirror and literally all you do is you take your hands and you act like you're wiping away the fog. So this motion of doing this every single morning is going to trigger to your mind that you don't have to live in this self-doubt. You were not created to start just be somebody who is doubting themselves. You wipe away the foggy mirror. So that's the first thing that I do. And everybody wakes up with self-doubt, no matter who you are. And I work with the top NBA players, and the things that they struggle with the most, confidence, self-confidence. It's crazy. And now a hot button term these days is imposter syndrome. People talk about, man, I'm not feeling imposter syndrome. You know what? If you're feeling imposter syndrome, that's a great thing. That means you're doing something. Nobody in the history have ever felt imposter syndrome sitting on the couch watching Netflix and eating nachos. It just didn't happen. If you're feeling imposter syndrome, embrace that. You're doing something. So then the next thing I do is I take an ice cold shower, 3-minute ice cold shower. And I never look forward to this. I hate doing this. But one thing I've found through training NBA players over years and years is I would bring a stopwatch to the workouts and hit start when the player didn't want to work out. And I wanted to see how long is it going to take for their mind to overcome when they start something? How long will their mind be able to win this battle? And 17 seconds was the average that came back over all these years of doing this stopwatch. So I know if I want to do something, it might be 17 seconds of suck. But once I get through that 17 seconds, I can make it through the rest of it. Like, think about it. If you're making cold calls or sales calls all day, you don't want to pick up that first phone call. You don't want to do it. But after you do it, man, you get in a rhythm. Or you go to the gym. You're like, you know what? Today, I'm just going to sit in the steam room. Now I'm going to do a couple reps. Once you get into the flow, you get going. Mm. So I take this ice cold shower in the first 17 seconds every single day, even this morning. Terrible. Hate it. But I know I can make it through. After that, I'm fine. So it's a mindset tool that I know that I have 17 seconds is all it takes. If I start something, I can make it through. And just having that confidence that, hey, like I can get it through anything if I get to do this first 17 seconds is very powerful.
Man, it's insane. I mean, you're coming right now and giving us just straight value, right? From taking your hands and going across the mirror, from like really saying, you know, I'm gonna hop in this shower for 17 seconds and I'm gonna overcome it. It's things that we can actually apply. I gotta ask you, because a lot of people are saying, okay, I'm understanding these techniques, I'm understanding these strategies, but we want to go back to your story. Like, how does David really get from, you know, not just off the couch, but really getting towards the NBA? Because a lot of people get a skill, right? They understand their skill set, but they don't know how to apply it to a certain field. How did you get that opportunity?
So good. Such a good transition question. So when I made this decision, I wanted to coach in the NBA. I had no connections in the NBA. My uncle, who is now the head coach for the Toronto Raptors, was not in the NBA. He was just starting out in the G League, so he did not have those connections. So I hand wrote a letter to every NBA GM. And here's why I did this. I knew I had to stand out. Everybody's going to email. Everybody's going to try to, you know what, hit them up some way. That's an easy way. Hand wrote a letter to every NBA GM and mailed it to them. Didn't get anything back for a month and a half. But I was going to take that shot. I think a lot of us, we won't take a shot because we're afraid we'll hear no. And I'm over the believer as a shooter. Like, the more shots you shoot gives you the more opportunity to score. One guy got back to me. Month and a half later, the GM for the Los Angeles Clippers, Gary Sachs, and we had a normal conversation. At the end of it, he said, if you're ever out in LA, look me up. We'll grab coffee. Most people would take that as good luck with the rest of your life. I took it as an opportunity. I booked a ticket right after that. I spent all my money, stole some of my parents' money so I could be out in LA that next week. And I acted like I had a basketball camp so I didn't look desperate. But what I did in that week is I prepared my butt off for this meeting. I prepared because also gaining a lot of confidence comes through the preparation, the unseen hours that you do when you're not in the gym or when you're not in the office or when you're not on stage. Like, when I speak now, I prepare for hours beforehand so it looks like I'm on stage and I can wing it. So I go out there and I meet with Gary and we have a great conversation. We hit it off. And I kid you not, every single connection in the NBA has stemmed from Gary Sachs. He introduced me to Eric Spoelstra, the head coach of the Heat, who's one of my closest friends. He introduced me to a bunch of GMs, bunch of coaches. It all stemmed from that relationship. So what I'm saying is the most powerful thing that you can do is build relationships. Nobody is untouchable. You can reach out to anybody. It's literally a skill that I teach of how to genuinely connect, because there is an art to it. I've learned many times doing it the wrong way to learn how to actually do it. But also in that same breath, so relationships, the most important. You cannot do anything without these relationships. And I tell everybody in their 20s or even in their 30s, they're starting off with something, build relationships. I used to call my happy hour was I would go try to build relationships and get business cards. And then I'd stay in touch with these people. So that's the most important thing. But then I also had to figure out, like, okay, well, I need to make myself the expert because the NBA is not going to come to me. I have to make the NBA want me. I couldn't just say, hey, every NBA team, I'm going to outwork everybody else. Nah, everybody says that. It doesn't work. So all I could do, my strength, my God-given strength, was shooting a basketball. No defense, no athleticism, none of that. So I started these basketball shooting camps. I custom made these basketballs from China with this line down the middle. Literally, man, they were so cheap, terrible leather. And so you could see the shooting rotation with the line down the middle. Had them shipped out to the Oakland Seaport. I drove 29 hours in my car from Kansas City to Oakland, put these balls in my trunk, and I spend the next 5-6 years driving around the country doing basketball camps for anybody that would take me in. I'm sleeping on friends' couches who don't know I'm their friend even. I'm sleeping in well-lit Walmart parking lots. I cannot make this up. I literally spent 6 months in Albuquerque, New Mexico, doing basketball training for a junior in high school who really didn't care that much about basketball, but her parents had just won the lottery and they needed a tax write-off. That was six months of my career, man. So nothing is below you on your journey. Understand that, like, I had my goal. I knew what I wanted to be. And I was willing to go through the quote unquote grind to get there, to get to my goal. So fast forward doing this for about 5.5 years. I'm in Melbourne, Australia. I wake up doing a basketball camp down there to an email that says Brooklyn Nets shooting coach. Now, I didn't know anybody in Brooklyn, so I thought this was spam. Like, I had no contacts there, but it was through one of Gary's connections who connected me to another person. And I was going to delete that email. I had it clicked in the box. I was going to delete it. I opened it up. The next week, I'm in Brooklyn as a Brooklyn Nets shooting coach. So that the main points of this story, of my story, is everything is relational. You literally building relate that other people are going to lead you to where you get. Also, taking a shot, the shots you don't take, you will never have any chance of making them. And then also you have to figure out, like, how do you make yourself wanted? What is your lane? What is your niche you can get in? And then just going on. And then just never giving up, man. Like, it's crazy because there's so many times, like, I thought, like, what am I doing? Like, what, I'm making no money. What am I doing? And I could have given up. But that's the number one skill people can have, man. Don't give upness.
Man, listen, man. You speaking my language now. We talking relationships. You talking about better relationships. And, like, without a doubt, I think having the right relationships and learning how to maneuver, how to keep them, how to build with them changes everything. You know, I'm somebody who's been, you know, blessed enough to be, you know, that's one of my specialties, but there's still ways to learn. One of the books that I read, you might have read this one too. It was called Never Eat Alone. And the cool thing about Never Eat Alone is that it kind of affirmed all the things I was thinking that let me know that I was on the right path. You know, I used to always, every time I'm on a flight, you know, I will pay the extra price to go first class. And the reason behind it, I don't care where we're going. The reason behind it is there's a different type of person who sits in those seats. They're either, you know, they're trying to ride one comfortably. Two, they are probably, you know, established in some field in some company. Or three, they are really trying to network. You know, and I've been able to make amazing relationships even in the air. You know, but being able to communicate with people effectively, by far a huge game changer. And I'm pretty sure you can agree. I got to ask you a funny question because I know I got a lot of NBA, you know, a lot of NBA type of people who have teams they're rooting for right now. As they listen to you say, you know, Miami Heat, Eric and all, who has been like, I'll let you do a couple. Who have been some of your favorite people that you, you know, worked with and coached?
Such a great question and such a difficult question, because a lot of the guys that I've worked with become very good friends. When I got married, 7 NBA players were actually in my wedding. So this is like choosing your favorite movie or choosing your favorite kid. But one of them who's had a long lasting impact from an early stage on my life is one of my closest friends is Jeremy Lin. And I got to know him after the Linsanity time. And it's funny because we would talk a lot about that situation. And I learned a lot from Jeremy. I've learned a lot. He's a brother in Christ to me. He's an amazing, amazing guy. But he told me, like, he was at the top of the world, like Linsanity, the number one trending thing in the world. And he would never want to go through that time again because instead of living in the appreciation for the moment there, he was living in the what ifs. What if I can't keep this up? What if I don't keep this pace going? What will people think of me? And that's all too real for a lot of, man, most of us feel that way. Mm-hmm. Instead of being like, man, I am so content in the place God has me in, I'm worrying instead about, oh, what's coming next? Oh, what's coming next? What's coming next? And it steals our daily joy and it takes us away from being in the present. So learning that from Jeremy taught me that, man, true confidence is in the self-awareness of who you are. It's who you are at the core. It has nothing to do with the results. It has nothing to do with the accolades, the money, your title, anything like that. True self-confidence is being so comfortable in your own skin, not with any results based, so that you can make other people feel comfortable in their skin. And Jeremy has taught me, like, since going on to just really stand for so much more than basketball, for his faith in Jesus, for his Taiwanese people. And I like to joke that he thinks he's a gourmet chef in the kitchen, which is highly debatable, but he stands for that. So Jeremy is definitely one of the people that I've learned a lot from. Man, I've learned some great lessons from Norm Powell, who was a second round draft pick, worked with him since his UCLA days. And he was up and down and in and out of lineup for years, man. Mm-hmm. He was coming up on a contract year. And this taught me how important on building your systems and your processes are. And here's why. So he would base everything on results. Like, if he didn't get these stats, he'd be miserable to be around. If he did get the stats, he was the greatest guy to be around. And he didn't really have a game plan. He would just go out and play. So said Norm, you know what? We are going to focus on your two best shots. What you do the best is catch and shoot threes. It's attacking the hoop in transition. All we are going to count are those two things. I don't care if you miss every single shot. We are going to focus on the process of it. And so he did. And we also worked with a term, what I call a Q word. And a Q word is a word that you can say that will kick your subconscious back into the state of mind that you've tied it with. It's kind of like that movie Inception, where the top spins, and whenever they see this top spinning, it hits them back into a level of the dream. Mm. So you can create your own Q word, which is a very powerful mindset tool you can use at any time. And this is really good for when the pressure's on or when you feel like the storm's coming over you. Like, how do you rise above that? So his Q word was process. And he told me the first game that we focused on these two shots on the process, he said process literally over 200 times. I don't know if that's true or not, but he was literally like process to kick his mind back in that state. Mm. So he goes 30 games in a row leading up to when the world shut down in 2020, when they had that last shutdown game, of only shooting catch and shoot threes and transition rim attacks. Mm. This guy was coming off the bench. Okay. I'm saying, like, he wasn't getting a whole lot of minutes in and out of lineup. The Western Conference Player of the Week that week was LeBron James. Everybody's heard of him. The Eastern Conference Player of the Week was Norm Powell, literally the Player of the Week in the Eastern Conference from focusing on the process. Norm goes on to get a $90 million contract in this offseason. Now he's playing for the Los Angeles Clippers, one of the most dynamic players in the league, because he realized, like, it's like, if I focus on results, they're not going to happen. But if I set up my system, meaning what am I the best at? I'm best at these two shots. What is my process? This is my daily habits. These are my mindset routines. These are actually executing these two things that I need to do. That leads to results. And it's such a great reminder for us in life that if you focus on, hey, I want to make $100,000. I want to make $1 million. I want to be famous. Like, oh, like, whatever your goal is, you're not going to get there if you don't have a system with daily habits of your process. Then it equals the results.
Man, that's so real. And that right there, it might be the bar of all bars, right? System, process, that gets the results. Not just saying, hey, I want to be this, hey, I want to be that, but putting in the work. And also, like, too, is he had that word that kept coming back to him that I think is important. Whatever that one word is for you, you know, right now, I got to ask you the question. And we ask this question, right? And the audience, they know it's coming. We ask this question to everybody who's ever been on this podcast, whether, you know, you just graduated college, or perhaps you didn't even get a degree at all, but you're listening right now, right? You're asking yourself the question of the show, school's over, now what? What advice would David Nurse give?
School's over, now what? So I would literally say, man, make connections. What area do you want to be in? Whether it's, let's say, like for me, it was the NBA. I would go out to Las Vegas Summer League, where every NBA coach was at some point, and I would try to connect with every one of them. I would cultivate these relationships. So whatever area of the line of work that you want to be in, there's a community within that group. And you can get inside this community. Like the circle of your success, think of it like this. There's an inner 15% and there's an outer 85%. If you just try to bang down doors from the 85%, it'll take you a long, long time. And most people will never get on that inner 15%. But if you go for the inner 15% first, and you go to where these people are getting together, and you genuinely pour into these people. So that's the thing too. You go in there and you build relationships, not for what they can do for you, but pour into these people, and it will all come back to you. So when you graduate college, when school's out, when you're done with school, don't just take the first thing that comes to you. Unless it's your dream job, don't just take the first thing that comes to you. Focus on building relationships, getting in these communities that you want to get into, and don't worry about making money. I've seen so many people that have taken a job because it has more money on it, and then they're miserable for the next 40 years of their life. Instead of being like, okay, I'm going to bet on myself. I'm going to understand. I don't really even care about making money in my 20s. I want to build these relationships. And you're coming from college. You can live off ramen noodles. You're not like, you don't have any responsibilities. Build it up to the point. And then when you're in your 30s and 40s, and it's all coming back into you. So I would say those two things are the most important things when school's up that I did. And I wish I would have focused on even more so.
Yo, this has been a fire episode. Listen, you heard it, right? Build those connections. Focus on, how can you add value? Somebody right now is already in the career field or perhaps doing the thing you want to do. How can you start by serving? Listen, man, I appreciate that. But listen, before I end this thing off, I got to ask you one question. It came to my mind. You also, in one of your books, you talk about like one of the things you say to yourself. And one of them is serving when you walk into a room. So before we let the audience get away, I want to dive a little bit into that piece. Like, what do you mean by that? And how important is serving?
Man, great question. So it is one of the biggest difference makers when you walk into a room. I used to walk into rooms. I'm like, man, who can I connect with? Who do I like? Ooh, what can they do for me? And I would just drive myself nuts. And it would be very inauthentic in the relationship that I tried to build. So when you walk into a room, the trick is look at your hands and say the word serve. Once again, you're tying a word with your subconscious that it reminds you when you enter the room, you say the word serve. Now all you're focusing on is what can you do for the people in that room, not what can they do for you. And one, it'll make your relationships more authentic. Two, it will also take a lot of pressure off you. Like before I step on stage and speak in front of thousands of people, I do that. I like serve. Who can I serve? If I can serve one person, if I can literally serve, because then I'm not concerned about like how I'm doing. If I'm getting my point across to the audience and I'm helping them, then it's a win. So try that. The next time you walk into a room where you want to connect with people, just focus on how you can pour into them. And it's funny how life works, man. If you pour and you pour and you give to people and don't expect it in return, it will eventually all come back to you. It might not be every relationship. You can't keep score like that. But trust me, I've seen it too many times in my own life, in successful people's life. Pour into others and you will be filled.
All facts, man. People want to know more about you, David. Like, where can we find you? Just give us all like your social media platforms.
Yeah, davidnurse.com. I do a coaching program. I call it The Breakthrough. It's a 3-month intensive where I teach literally every tool like this that can help you on your own roadmap, create your own blueprint, reach your success. Basically everything that I've learned, man, and just help you skip 5-10 years of roadblocks and hurdles to get over. So that's at davidnurse.com. Social media is davidnurse.mba, Instagram, Twitter, all that. Trying to get into TikTok. It's one of those things like, I don't know, man. Do we need more social media stuff? But then let's see, podcast, The Art Of podcast, and then anywhere books are sold, you can find Pivot to Go and Breakthrough, and the next book's coming out early next year.
Appreciate you, bro. And for those of you that have been listening, always remember, dream it, believe it, go out and get it. Yo, what you think? I hope you enjoyed today's episode. I want to know what you learned. So if you wouldn't mind, would you take a screenshot of you listening to the podcast on your phone right now? Upload to your Instagram stories, tag me at @SeanRAnthony_, and then let me know in that Instagram story what is one thing that you learned.
I love hearing from you, my listeners, thought leaders, former or current students all around the world. Let me know, and while you're doing this, go inside the podcast app, subscribe, leave a 5-star review and a 5-star rating. Again, this helps us reach more people. And if you want to be a part of this mission, helping us change the world one person at a time, it makes a massive difference by you leaving a review. Thanks so much. I'll see you next week. And remember, dream it, believe it, go out and get it.